Please be seated. Maybe you won't believe this, but at a Greek festival in Wilmington, Delaware, when our daughter was only one, my wife and I caught a glimpse of her 17 years in the future, graduating from high school, taking her first wobbly step toward leaving us and home behind. Let me fill you in. We'd had a fairly typical dinner at the festival with an 18-month-old, some foods rejected out of hand, others enthusiastically embraced, consumed, and rubbed in hair on Daddy's knee on Mama's dress, and we were very mobile. The same child who could happily sit throughout her meal in her high chair at home needed to take a stroll seemingly every 2 minutes whenever we ate in public. I made a mental note on our third walkabout to see if other parents there that evening were wearing as much dinner as I was. They were not. Like a small farmer in pint-sized overalls, Helena measured the scope of her domain, all the while trailing Dad, her tiny olive oil-covered hand wrapped around one of my fingers. And then something new happened. And this is when I saw her launched into the fast approaching future. When the festival band began to play, my daughter let go of my hand and she never looked back. I followed her out on the dance floor, but she didn't need me. In fact, I was cramping her style. So I stepped to the side and for 10 minutes, she bobbed up and down, chattered with other small fry, and happily greeted people that she'd never met. At first, my wife and I chuckled, "Look at her go! Look at how independent she's become." And then it hit us, "Look at how independent she's become. Look at her go." The ascension, which we've just heard about, has a similar push-me-pull-you strangeness. It's a celebration of letting go and an absence, not so unlike the one that I just described, a snapshot of the disciples losing the Jesus that they've come to know and depend on, even as it's a declaration of their strength and responsibilities. In an instant, they have to grow up and put away childish ways. And that kind of revelation rarely puts us in a party mood. As Jesus rises, two messengers say in no uncertain terms to the people assembled, "Whatever you thought before, the buck stops now with you." No wonder the Feast of the Ascension has all but been forgotten. It slipped from our consciousness. How many of you gathered around your family table this week and exchanged Ascension gifts? Did you? Anyone put up the Ascension tree? Put on your Ascension clothing and talk about it at the office? We don't know what this is anymore. Moreover, the story is a bit too fantastic for our 21st century rational sensibilities. The scene described in the book of Acts this morning seems like a page borrowed from science fiction. Yet, whatever means Jesus may use for his exit, the experience described in the scripture couldn't be more real or more familiar. A loved one leaves, whether it's by graduation or to seek his own fortune or to die. And the rest of us are left behind, wondering what to do without him. It seems like every other song I hear on the radio says, "Who am I now that you're gone?" The best of us are eager to stand on our own two feet, except when we're not. This phenomenon plays itself out in most of our families. We spend our lives trying to get as far away from our parents as we can, and also to keep our kids close. But since everyone is both a child of the past generation and a parent of the next, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that we've got a problem here. Lots of parents wanting to keep their children close. Lots of kids trying to get away. Lots of children wishing that they could go home but not being able to stand it once they get back there. Lots of parents eager for their kids to be launched but not being able to stand it once they're gone. It's crazy. Like dogs, we like to jump in and out of the car. As soon as we see the door open, we're in, and then we want to get back out. Gary Shandling says he just leaves both doors open. The dogs jump in, they jump out, it can go on for hours. But maybe we have it worse. Many of us do this with our parents, either the ones that we know in the flesh and the blood, or the ones that we've internalized and carry along with us. Many of us play this game of in and out and back and forth and close and far away all our lives. It's part of being human. A rabbi tells this story. I remember the first week I spent at college. I took the Baltimore and Ohio sleeper from Detroit down to Cincinnati. All at once, I had to register for courses, move into the dorm, meet classmates, open my first checking account, buy textbooks, attend orientation, do homework, and of course, set the world on fire. There was no turning back. I remember sitting at my desk, watching the cars go by on Clifton Avenue, and in spite of myself, thinking how nice it would be to be back home. But deciding that since it was going to be like this for the rest of my life, I better get used to it. But I cried anyway. And how could I have known that at that very moment, my parents also held each other and wept too? Why do we cry about everything that we so long to achieve? Why do we cry about the things that we pray for? He continues, at the time I didn't understand about family and the simple power of going away and coming back. But now, he says, I realize that this setting out and returning home again is a kind of dance that we do with our source and our destiny. So what does it mean to let go of Jesus the way that the Ascension describes? Here, too, I wonder if the image of growing up and setting out from home isn't implied, and whether the disciples can't or won't come into their own until Jesus is gone. Until they let go of their childish ways, they probably assume that feeding the poor and tending the sick, that breaking down walls and building a community that works, well, that's somebody else's problem. Until they leave behind their childish ways. I wonder what keeps us from growing up into the full stature of Christ. What if each of us acknowledges the pain and the promise of being left to our own devices, and out of that work, to live in such a way that everyone has a home, everyone feels at home, everyone can be at home. If we don't let go of our childish ways, if we keep waiting for somebody else to do that, nobody will be at home. Now, no one standing around watching them that day could have guessed what an astounding thing would happen when they all stopped looking up at the sky and instead started looking at each other. On the surface, it was not such a dramatic moment. 11 abandoned disciples with nothing to show yet for their following. But in the days and years to come, it would become very apparent what had happened to them. With nothing but a promise and a prayer, those 11 people consented to become the church. And nothing was ever the same again, beginning with them. Those followers, they became leaders. Those converts, they became missionaries. Those who had been healed, they became the healers. You'll remember years ago, St. Paul wrote a letter to the people in Corinth, who I imagine were struggling just like the disciples must have struggled on the day of the ascension, trying to live the way that God called them to live. You know, he wrote them and said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned as a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see face to face. Now I know only in heart, but then I will be known fully, even as I am fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide," he said, "these three. And the greatest of these is love." Now, I would argue that that's an image of conscious spirituality, of faithful adults taking responsibility for their own actions and for the world, of laying God's presence alongside our experience of his absence. You hear me? All of us feel like God's left us behind, except on our rosiest days. All of us know what it feels like to be little or feel little, and mama and daddy are gone. And now you mean I've got to do it on my own? I've got to find a job. I've got to pay the bills. I've got to raise a family. I've got to make Baltimore better. Well, why doesn't somebody come in and fix all this? And we imagine that, and we often have that in our faith as well. It'll all be fine in the sweet by and by. Well, the sweet by and by is now. It's now. If we'll put aside childish ways and grow up into the full stature of Christ and be the adults that God has made us to be. If we will lay alongside our experience of God's absence, our sense of his presence, and find in the midst of our loss and despair, hope. The ascension celebrates such a letting go of growing up and being free. God's not up in the clouds. He never was. God's kingdom is within us, and it's been there all along. An itinerant preacher in the book Soldier's Joy is asked, "Do you truly believe?" "Well, you may ask," the preacher responded, his voice suddenly low. "Maybe he's left us. Maybe he's just gone off like some claimant. Don't make no difference anyway," he said. "The point is, what was he up to when he was here? What was he up to when he was with us? He loved people. That's what he did. Only not with a fool's blind love the way some misremember it now. He loved us out of full understanding. He'd see down through every darkest turn of your soul, know you better than you knew yourself, and love you in spite of it all." St. Paul called that charity. That's what love is. And love is God among us, even to this day, and that's what I believe. The mission for which Jesus lived and died, it's ours now. To come home to our true selves as individuals and as a people. To put aside our childish ways and to put the other guy first. Not sometimes. Always. To love others as profoundly as God loves us. Right here. Right now. Outside those doors and inside our hearts. To take the hand of a world that's pretty convinced it's been abandoned, and to face that lie with ourselves and say, "No, God's not gone. God's not gone because we're here." Why are we looking up? Why are we looking up towards heaven? Just look around. Amen.